Well, the day that we're going to talk about this morning, it was just a day. It was just like any other day. The sky wasn't any bluer. The birds didn't sing any louder. It was just a day. His brothers had gotten him out of bed, gotten him dressed. And on their way to work, they carried him to his usual spot that he stayed. It was a day, just like any other day. Only this day, before it was finished, it would be unlike any other day in this man's life. It was just a day. He sat with his legs shriveled up in front of him, basically useless. Maybe he thought of all the days that he had sat here and all the days that he sat and begged alms. Maybe they kind of stretched out in front of him. He thought, well, this is my life. Today was just a day. It was no better or no worse than any other day in his life. But see, today, without his knowledge, and without his consent, would be a day that he would remember for the rest of his life. Because you see, today would take him from being just a simple beggar, leading an obscure life and probably an obscure death. And it would set him on the road to eternal life. We don't know who he was. We have no idea. The scriptures tell us nothing about his life before this point, and it tells us nothing after. But this day, this day would be written about by a doctor. And it would be read about by millions upon millions upon millions of people. We can read about this story in Acts chapter 3. Turn with me there as we read the story once again. Acts 3. Starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. But when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder in amazement at what had happened to him. What a day. Day that would never be forgotten. And this morning, we're going to look at that day. You see, as we read the scriptures, we find out this man was not whole, was he? This man had been crippled from birth. That wasn't debatable. It wasn't open to discussion. It wasn't iffy. This man had been crippled from birth. It wasn't his fault that he was crippled, was it? You know, sometimes we know the only person to blame for some of our misfortunes is who? Us. You know, if we smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day and develop lung cancer, can we shake our fist at God and say, "Why did you do this to me?" No. Or how about if we constantly abuse alcohol? Maybe develop, what, cirrhosis of the liver? Or run our families off? Who's left to blame? We are. But there's no evidence of that here. All we know is this man was not physically whole. He wasn't everything that a normal physical man should be. He was lame. He was crippled. He couldn't walk. You know, in today's world, those terms wouldn't be allowed, would they? No, they're not politically correct. They would say that he was physically challenged. Or maybe he was physically disadvantaged. See, I'm kind of follically disadvantaged. But you know, there's also cases where, I don't know, someone else is responsible for their children's problems. Look at mothers when they drink heavily or when they do drugs during their pregnancy. The babies are tore up. I saw so much of that when I was at Riverside. These children that otherwise would have been perfectly healthy, so physically disabled, mentally disabled. But you know, that wasn't the case here as far as we know. But you know, most of us sitting here this morning, we're pretty much whole, aren't we? We don't have too many physical problems like this. But you know what? Every single one of us sitting here this morning is spiritually handicapped. Every one of us. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 3, verse 23? "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." None of us are worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. None of us. We're born with a rebellious streak, aren't we? Even from the time we're tiny, we're born with a rebellious streak. We try to be good, even as adults, don't we? We try to do what's right. But we can't reach it on our own. We can't. You know, we try to set morals of right and wrong, don't we? We try to justify ourselves before God. But what did Isaiah say? Back in Isaiah chapter 64, verse verse 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. You know, when we look at our righteous acts by themselves, they look like beautiful garments, don't they? They're wonderful things. We compare our acts to maybe some others who aren't so righteous. But we say, wow, that looks like fine linen. But what about when we compare our righteous acts to the righteousness of God? They don't look so fine anymore, do they? And they become like filthy rags. Guess what? It's not just your righteousness either. It's the righteousness of every person here, of every person who has ever lived. We are not spiritually whole. Spiritually, we are cripples. You could say we're righteously challenged. Do you know this man that we read about? He was honest in his evaluation of himself, wasn't he? Let's read verse 2 again in Acts 3. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. This man didn't fool himself. He knew he was crippled. He probably had come to terms with that a long, long time ago. And let me tell you something. This was not a good time to be crippled. This was the time when physical power abounded. What did the Romans have? The big gladiator contests. The Olympic Games of the Greeks. There was no sympathy and no place for anyone who was a little less than what we would consider perfect. You know, not every age and culture is like ours today. There wasn't any Social Security. There wasn't any Medicare. This man knew he had limited potential. And he knew that all of his hoping and all of his dreaming would never make those withered legs work again. He was honest. His brothers were taking him out to beg. He wasn't going for a walk. He wasn't going out to play basketball. He was going to beg. He had accepted the fact that if he was going to survive, he was going to have to beg for money. Sought out a good spot too, didn't he? Right there at the main temple gate. See, they would come in 3 times a day to pray. The Jews would. And he's sitting right there. He probably tried to make them feel guilty, didn't he? There's a lot to be said about guilt. On our way down to the theological conference. It'd been there for years and years. In Tennessee, there's a huge adult bookstore. Well, a church had bought some land right next to this bookstore. And they constructed a cross that was probably 80 or 100 feet high. You could see it from the parking lot. Well, when we went down this time, guess what? The bookstore had big, giant clothes signs up all something to be said for guilt. And there was a man named Jeff Steinberg, who I had the privilege to see when I was in college at Cumberland College. He was born without any arms, and his legs were terrible, couldn't support himself. His mother gave him up when he was very, very small. He went from home to home. And one day he saw these children riding a tricycle. And oh, he wanted to do that so bad. And he tried and tried and tried to get up on this tricycle. But he just kept falling off. And he never learned to ride it. But you see, he didn't stop. The doctors made braces for his legs. He could walk with these braces. And they made a prosthetic arm off of one of the small stubs that he had been born with. And he could hold a microphone with it. And he goes all over the country giving inspirational speeches. He's a wonderful singer. He wrote many songs. His statement of faith reads like this. He said, "A handicap is anything that keeps me from being or becoming all that God designed for me to be." It's beautiful, isn't it? How about Ray Charles? Beautiful musician, isn't he? You think he'll ever paint a sunset? No. How about Robin Todd? One of the most talented singers I've ever heard. He's always going to be short, isn't he? I was joking with him when we were at the theological conference. We walked in, I said, "Robin, stand up." But he's always going to be short. We have to accept that. We have to accept our shortcomings. Because we will never, never, never enter the kingdom of God on our own. We will never, never, never be that good. Ever. We'll never deserve it. We'll never earn it. We'll never do enough good. And it's only when we admit that, that Jesus Christ will do us any good. You know, people go to the hospital for one or two reasons, don't they? Why do you go to the hospital? You're sick? Or to ease your suffering? Other than those two reasons, there's really no good reason to go to a hospital. Maybe to visit. Because the food may be good, but it's not that good. Beds don't look real comfortable, do they? The company can be downright depressing sometimes, can't it? But if you're sick, that's the place to be, isn't it? Turn with me over to Mark, chapter 2 and verse 17. "And hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. If you're not lost, you don't need to be found. I wonder if anyone else here this morning is kind of as strong-willed as I am about being lost. Can't stand to admit I'm lost. I'd rather drive around for hours rather than come and admit that, well, I'm lost. But you know what? Until you're ready to admit the fact that you need Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, He can't help you. And this man that we read about, he was expectant too, wasn't he? Let's read verse 5 in Acts 3 again. It says, "And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He asked for alms from Peter and from John, didn't he? And what did they say? Look at me. Well, if any one of you have ever been in sales before, there's certain things that people say when you think, I've got this one in the bag. Well, I'm sure this beggar thought, I've got this one in the bag. They're going to give me something. Because you know why? What do we do when we see a beggar on the street corner or at the mall or somewhere and we don't have any change in our pocket? We look the other way, don't we? So they made eye contact here. He's thinking, all right, this one's in the bag. You know, the same is true for our prayer life. When we approach God in prayer, we need to be expecting an answer. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Jesus says, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he?" Now, I think probably every one of us are kind of pushovers, aren't we, when it comes to our kids and our grandkids? We want to give them good things when we can. Well, when we go to our great God through Jesus in prayer and ask Him to forgive our sins, we need to expect them to be forgiven. God will forgive our sins. But we have to ask Him. Would the beggar have gotten anywhere if he would have said, "Well, you probably don't want to give me anything, do you?" No. He wouldn't have. But you see, this man, he also believed. Read Acts 3 in verse 6 again. "But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. I want you to put yourself in the spot of that crippled man. Every day of his adult life, he had been carried to this same spot. Rain or shine, hot or cold, didn't matter. There are probably days when he collected next to nothing. other days when he probably made out pretty good. I'm sure he'd been ridiculed by the children and the adults alike as he sat there. But he'd never heard an offer like this one before. In all his days, he asked for a crumb. He was offered a banquet. How should he react? What thoughts are going through his mind? Had he heard of Peter or John or even Jesus before? We don't know. But we know he believed Peter. Scriptures say that they seized him by the right hand, helped him to his feet. He put his weight on these legs. He felt the strength go down through his thighs into his feet that he'd never felt before. He realized he was doing the impossible. He was standing. This wasn't a joke. These men indeed had something more to offer him than silver or gold. They gave him what nature had deprived of him. They had given him his legs. And it was only through his belief that this happened. They'd made him whole. One minute, he was half a man. The next minute, he was whole. One minute, crippled. The next minute, he's healed. Just as his handicap had been beyond dispute, so was his healing. Not even the Sanhedrin or the high priest, they couldn't argue this success, could they? These legs that used to be useless now held the full weight of his body. You know, even though we are spiritually handicapped, we can be made whole. Think of King David. Think of his life. What's on his resume? Let's see, adultery, treason, murder. We could go on and on. But you know what he wrote in Psalm 51, verse 7? He said, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Paul says that the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in His Son, Jesus our Lord. When we ask for forgiveness, we can be made every bit as whole as that crippled beggar. We can be made clean. It doesn't matter what the sin is. We can be made whiter than snow. And I think Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." finally, this man was full of praise. Let's read verse 8 again, Acts 3. It says, with a leap he stood upright and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, I like this. No one had to tell him to go to the temple, did they? No one had to tell him to thank God. But he knew he had to. He had to. The very first act was to praise and give God thanksgiving. See, he was on fire. He wanted to share this. No, he had to share this with everyone he met. He didn't worry if it would offend them. He didn't worry if it would drive them away. He had to tell. He was excited. I could just see him now in my mind's eye, going through the temple. Excuse me, sir. I know you don't know me, but just a few minutes ago, I was crippled. And these men came to me, and they said these words. They said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And I was healed. Had he been like some Christians, he might have said, great. Now I got to go buy some shoes. Now I got to get a job. You know, it doesn't hurt for us to get a little more excited about our faith. If you were drowning and some run through you a life preserver, would you be excited? How about if you had terminal cancer and someone found the cure? Would you be excited? People, we have been given a life preserver. We have the cure. That cure is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We have been offered a kingdom. A kingdom. This morning, as you leave this place, you go about your daily lives. You come into contact with people all around. I just want you to remember one simple word. Walk. Walk.